Hello, everyone. Before I start the next podcast episode, I just wanted to let you know that Helping Couples Heal will be doing our next online couples workshop on September 27th and 28th. And we will be doing our very first in-person workshop in California on October 18th and October 19th. And that is the first in-person workshop that we are offering since before COVID. So if you're interested in either of those workshops in September or October, please email support@helpingcouplesheal.com, or you can go to the website helpingcouplesheal.com to learn more. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, a place for healing and hope for couples impacted by betrayal resulting from infidelity and or sex addiction. Your host is Marnie Breaker, licensed marriage and family therapist, certified sex addiction therapist, and founder of the Center for Relational Healing in Los Angeles and San Diego, California. The Helping Couples Heal podcast was launched in 2021 with the intention of bringing hope to couples all over the world who are desperately trying to recover from the devastating impact of betrayal. Realizing how many people the podcast was reaching and that we could offer even more support to our listeners, Marnie co-founded Helping Couples Heal, which has since grown into a global online coaching organization. This podcast is the foundation of all the work that we do at Helping Couples Heal. Thank you for listening. Marnie brings over a decade of experience and expertise in the field of betrayal trauma and is honored to support you wherever you may be in your healing. If you've lost hope, you've come to the right place. Now, take a slow, deep breath and let's begin with the Helping Couples Heal podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Helping Couples Heal podcast. This is Marnie, and I'm here today with Elise, who is the president of Helping Couples Heal. Hello, Elise.
Hello. Good morning.
Thanks for coming back to chat.
Of course. It's my favorite thing to do with you.
Oh, I love that. Well, what we decided to do this week is to have a continuation of the conversation that I started in the last podcast, which was about letting go of those not in recovery. So as you might recall, Elise, in the last podcast episode, I was really talking to the betrayed partners about the experience that they have when they are trying so hard to heal from betrayal and all of this pain that's been caused by their partner who betrayed them, and what they can do when that person who caused all this pain isn't actually doing the work, isn't showing up to help them heal, isn't recognizing the depth of pain that has been caused by the betrayal. You know, so that episode that I did was really talking about the difficult decisions that a betrayed partner has and just kind of giving them some insight into how to navigate that path, you know, when the other person's not doing the work. And then I was thinking, and I talked to you about this too, that the same concept can apply to the person who has caused the betrayal. I'll tell you right off the bat, I'm a little nervous about having this conversation because I work, as everyone knows, from a place of partner trauma. I'm very partner-centered. I believe in triage, right? That the partner trauma is the first thing that has to be triaged and helped and healed and settled in order to look at anything else. So I'm a little nervous about saying here that we want to talk to the betrayer about sometimes the decision that they need to make about whether or not to stay after all of this. But the truth is, as a therapist, I see this all the time where there are lots of times when it would be appropriate to leave. And there's lots of different reasons why. So just wanted to sort of put that out, that there's a little bit of nervousness I have because often after betrayal, there's the feeling of after everything that I did to my partner, there's no way I can leave, or there's no way I can do this or that. And there is a certain degree of truth to that. That's why I'm a little nervous, because it's so, there's truths and then there's not truths, right? If that makes sense. And one of the truths is that after betrayal, there is a period of time where the person who caused all of this, if they want to heal it, really needs to fall on their sword and honor the boundaries that the partner who's been betrayed is asking for and make sacrifices. Maybe not, you know, you can't travel. You can't do that golf trip you used to do with your friends once a year. And no, you can't go to the same gym that you went to where you were acting out. I mean, there's a myriad of things. You can't go on the work trips anymore, right? You need to have a blocker on your phone. Like all of these things are so appropriate. Some of them are more appropriate as time goes on, and some are more appropriate in the earlier stages. But there is that triage where you do in the early stages need to honor these boundaries, right? But then there's the truth that at some point, as time goes by, and I can't give you a time frame, I can't say it's at a year or 3 years or 5 years, it's just at some time when things aren't getting better and the person who has caused the betrayal is doing all the work, really is showing up, not just checking boxes, but diving deep and doing really deep, meaningful work. And sometimes the betrayed partner isn't leaving because it's too hard to leave. It is so hard to make that decision to leave a relationship. And sometimes in those situations, the best thing that the betrayer can do is to make that decision and help the partner get out of that turmoil, that place of purgatory. So anyway, let's just turn it over to you and hear what you have to say about all of this.
It is very tricky because healing isn't linear, we know, and we don't heal at the same pace. So one person might be progressing or not. And there's this gap. It's a different gap. It's the healing gap. And so what do you do with that? How do you navigate that? And to your point, you can't say, and I've been asked this, well, how long? Is 6 months? What about 9 months? A year? What about 2 years? And part of it is an internal decision of knowing yourself enough to know, do you stay or do you go? And what I see on both sides is, if you remember the song, neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Neither one wants to pull it. Neither one wants to tap out. Neither one wants to call it. And I see this on both sides. I want to do everything possible. But then there's still this deep knowing, I'm not going to be able to fulfill the needs. I'm not going to be able to show up the way that he or she needs me to show up. I don't communicate in the way that they want me to. I don't say the things. I don't think ahead. There's so many gaps, so many missing, even though they are doing the work. And many do the work and many don't do the work. How do you know? You're not inside somebody's brain. You don't know. So I think it really goes back to the person on either side. But right now we're talking to the betrayer. You have to know yourself enough to know that you can make a moral and ethical decision. You're holding somebody's heart in your hands. You're holding somebody's life in your hands. If you're not going to be able to meet their needs, and if you understand what their needs are and you know that you're not going to be able to meet their needs, you have a moral obligation to let them know that.
It's so painful. They're hanging on and they're coming into their therapist or coach or group and they're saying, he's saying that he'll do anything or she's saying she'll do anything, but I'm not seeing that, right? So they're in all this despair. And if you're over here knowing you're never going to be that or that you don't want to, right? It could be that you're not capable. It could be that you're capable, but you don't want to put the work in, right? It could be a myriad of things. But betrayal is about lying and it's deceit. It's deceitful. It's deceptive. So if you know that you are not going to be able to do what it is your partner is needing, and you don't say anything, you just keep showing up at the sessions, you keep saying, yes, I'll do whatever it takes. And you know, this can go on for years. And that is more harm to the person you've already harmed.
Yeah. And what I see, and again, this is also really tricky terrain, is that the betrayer is pulling back the layers and trying to understand, how did I get here? How did I become this person? I saw myself as this person, but clearly I have been this person. And they're pulling back the layers and they're looking at it. They're discovering all these different things. And at the same time, I now have to be this evolved person who's going to be empathetic and know the thing to say, when my whole life I probably have been living a completely different way. But now the rubber meets the road and I got to step up and do this now and do it consistently and do it right. And think about that. That's a lot for a human being to actually take on.
It's a lot. I say when I work with sex addicts or betrayers, you have a huge task ahead of you when they come in. I'll say, let's talk about what you have ahead of you. You've got to get sober if you're not sober already, right? You have to have a plan, a relapse prevention plan, and supports in place so that you can stay sober. And that when you find yourself in, you know, not so great headspace, or you're moving closer to what we call the inner circle or your problematic behaviors, we need to give you support, make sure that you have help there so that you don't move into that place and lose your sobriety. Then you have a partner, assuming you're in a relationship. This is obviously assuming that we're talking about someone in a coupleship. Then you have a partner who's bleeding out, you know, shocked, never in a million years could imagine this. You know, in many of the cases, that's the way it is. And the partner is like, their life is blown up. They feel shattered. They're having trouble focusing, showing up in their life. You know, there's often kids and, you know, it's a mess. And you have to, like you just said, show up and be empathic and take responsibility and validate and not blame shift and not talk about, well, all the things in our relationship that weren't right that you did and all of this stuff. They have to do that. And then find a way to help the relationship heal, like make significant changes. And by the way, this is usually going on while somebody is working and raising children. And this situation is untenable for couples. I want to just validate that on both sides, it's a horrible position for people to be in.
And also what there is to gain moving through the healing and the growth and the recovery individually and as a couple is huge. There's so much to gain to be able to get through this and to create a new relationship, create a new vision forward, to be able to actually do that, which we see all the time, is life-changing, life-affirming. And, you know, to have a connection with another human being in this lifetime on that level and to be able to make it through this is incredible. It's worth the work. The work is worth it. And the work does work. Will it work in time? Will it work for both people? There's a lot there.
Yeah, it's impossible to predict. I have clients, betrayers and betrayed partners. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've been asked, am I going to be okay? Am I going to heal? Is he going to stop acting out? Can I ever trust again? How long will this take? And I always say, my God, I would love to give you answers to that. And I can't. I just can't.
And on the betrayer side, I hear, I've grown so much. I feel like a different person. And yet she doesn't see that, or he doesn't see that. And so there's that two ships missing in the night and that frustration of, wow, I see life differently. I feel life differently. I'm doing life differently. And yet I'm not meeting the need. There's still this big disconnection. And so it's a very difficult situation. It can work. We know that it can work. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing if we didn't know that and believe that. And also, there are times where you have to have that come to truth with yourself and with your partner.
Yeah, and there's so many different factors. I'm thinking about a couple who actually I interviewed on this podcast years ago when we first started. So a lot of our listeners might recall John and Jane. And they are a couple that they have transformed their life after betrayal. At this point, I know that he has over 10 years of sobriety. And I still hear from them. And their relationship it's the kind of relationship people would aspire to have. And that might sound crazy because they went through hell. Really, it was horrible. That disclosure, I mean, it was an acute case of sex addiction. And they're doing phenomenally well. And she chose to stay. And she had somehow the capacity to hang in there for as long as she did, and then to be able to live with the reality of the past, because you can't change the past. And this particular person was able to do that, and they've gone on to have a fantastic relationship. Well, I have another couple that I've worked with, and you know, the partner tried for a while, really didn't want to break up the family, was committed to trying to make it work, and did the work for like a year or so. And like you were saying, Elise, her husband was doing really great, deep work, changing. I saw in our sessions the changing. I was in contact with his therapist, and she saw all of this deep work and all of this growth and transformation. And that was all true, but the partner was not capable of accepting the past. And that partner's not at fault. It's not like that other person who was able to move past is right and this partner is wrong. It is not about right or wrong. It's like what you said, it's what is right for you. I've shared on this podcast before, I'm a cancer survivor. And honestly, the way that I look at my life now, because of going through that, life is so short. I'm scared of losing time, right? I am so afraid of wasting time. That's just me. So if I were faced with something like this that was going to require years of time, I would probably, as a cancer survivor, be like, no way, I'm not doing it, right?
Yep.
And that's just me.
Yep. And you bring up something so important to remember. We all have a different past. The betrayed has a different past. The betrayer has a different past. And when you are traumatized and going through something to this degree, it is going to wake up all your other traumas that maybe you didn't even see as traumas, but you will now experience them on some level, consciously or subconsciously. And whether or not you can move through that to a point of relational healing together. And I think that there's different stages of relational healing. You can still heal the relationship and not stay together. If you have family and you have children, you're going to still want to have relational healing with each other. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to stay together.
A client of mine recently, after trying to repair for a while, finally got the clarity and said, I can't do this, but I want to heal. And I think the only way that I can heal by myself and with you to have a relationship and to co-parent our kids is to end this relationship. That's what I have to do in order to heal. And that's very different than a lot of other partners, right? Like what they do. The path is very, very different. But the important thing is when we are in pain, and especially trauma, we don't have the ability, even from like a neuroscience perspective, we're looking at the nervous system. Being in trauma is not having a calm system that allows us to think clearly and feel into what's going on in our bodies. And that's ironic because that's exactly what is needed in order to make these kinds of decisions, in order to get clear within yourself. Will I be able to choose a relationship that has this past, right? I have seen people leave relationships where they loved the other person. The love didn't go away. They just couldn't get to a place of trust. They couldn't trust. And we shouldn't be in a relationship when we can't trust, right? Kind of the inherent definition, if you will, of a relationship is you've got my back, I've got your back. You know, this world is crazy, but we're in it together and I'll keep you safe, you keep me safe, right? And if you don't have that, it's really hard to stay in a relationship. So something I just wanted to come back to, because we're talking about all sorts of stuff. It's such a huge, huge topic. But earlier we were talking about the betrayer having a moral and ethical responsibility to share their truth with their partner. If the partner is on this path of trying to heal the relationship and believes that you're trying to heal and you know, I can't do this for whatever the reason is, whether you don't want to, or whether you really don't have it in you to do that, or you've tried and you can't do it. If you know and you're hiding it, then you are perpetuating the cycle of deception. So that's one thing. But the other thing that we haven't talked about is when there's a betrayer who truly is doing the work, the deep work on themselves, and then the deep work to learn about the depth of pain they've caused their partner, and learning the skills that are necessary in order to help their partner heal and in order for them to be a person of integrity. And the partner cannot heal for whatever the reason is. Like you said, they might get hit in the face with the memory of a past trauma that comes up, and now they're doubled over in pain trying to deal with that. And there's so many reasons. But, you know, there are times when a betrayed partner becomes abusive and the abuse doesn't stop. And it could be physically abusive, it can be mentally abusive. And I think a lot of people believe, well, the other person deserves it, you know, or I have the right to be abusive after what they did. And the truth is, no, you don't. You have the right to take care of yourself, the right to find safety, the right to set boundaries, the right to have a separate residence. You have a lot of rights, but nobody has the right to abuse. And so there are situations where I see people that are betrayers that are staying, and they say to me, they tell me they're literally being physically abused, you know, but they won't leave and they won't set a boundary. And they say, and it's because look what I did. How can I do that?
I feel so heavy-hearted in this conversation because I've been on both the betrayed and the betrayer side of coaching and helping to heal, and how difficult and how painful this is.
It really is. Generally, what I see is that both partners in a coupleship after betrayal want to heal, are desperate to heal, but it's not that simple. Every once in a while, I'll get a case, and for whatever reason, it follows this very sort of like cookie cutter path, right? Like you're supposed to do this and that person does this and then you get to this place and then you move into stage two. And it actually works like that. It is so rare. Generally speaking, you could want to heal desperately and you can say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And it's just not always that simple. I want to just share a final story that came to mind when we were talking about this, which was a long time ago, I had a client who was a sex addict and he'd betrayed his partner of many years and they weren't married. And he was clear from the time he was young, he did not want to get married. He knew he wasn't going to have kids and he didn't feel like he needed to get married. And he was certain about that. When he got into a relationship with his partner, he was honest from the beginning about that. And after the betrayal, he was working so hard on trying to heal and trying to become this person that his partner needed. She made a boundary that he would marry her. And he got married. But he got married at a time when things were incredibly high conflict. He got married to her when he was coming in and knowing the reason he got married is just because he felt awful about what he'd done and that he had to do this. And I remember feeling so sad for his partner. I mean, for him too, of course, as my client, I felt for him because he felt he needed to do this. And he literally went against the value that he'd always held around marriage. But I remember feeling for his partner, you know, I just remember thinking, how would she feel knowing that he didn't want to get married, right? Like, again, it's more deception. And that deception didn't come from a place of wanting to hurt her. That deception didn't come from a place of him being a bad guy. It came from wanting to protect her.
Yeah, and wanting to do the right thing. Yeah. When the right thing involves self-betrayal, you know you're on a bad path.
Well, and that's a really great way to end, because self-betrayal is a whole other topic that we have been talking about really needing to sit down and talk about. So maybe we can make a plan to do that really soon.
Absolutely.
Any type of betrayal is bad. Let's just say it's not good. You're dealing with self-betrayal. You're dealing with betraying another person. That is so awful. Use the word heavy-hearted. And that's what it's hard to find the words to talk about how life-crushing betrayal can be.
Yeah. And you can love and leave.
You can love and you can stay. You can love and you can leave. And by the way, I hope everybody gets from this. The company is called, and the podcast is called Helping Couples Heal. I say it all the time. We believe in healing, but we also believe in honesty. Our role as healers and as helpers for people that are dealing with betrayal is to speak the truth, no matter how painful it is. And that's what we're doing. That's what I feel like I am morally and ethically obligated to do. I have a platform here with this podcast to talk to hundreds of thousands of people, and I need to be honest. And the truth is that it's not always in somebody or both people's interest in staying in a relationship. But there's no way to make that decision without really being able to be in touch with yourself, get to know yourself, you know, kind of get through the crisis, lots of crisis management. I'm like diving back in again. It's like, it's just, it's...
I know. I feel you.
There's so much. So in any event, we'll come back and we'll address this, I'm sure, in lots of other ways and times. But thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you for trusting us. And please do take good care of yourselves. And we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, where your healing is our number one priority. If you'd like additional resources about betrayal trauma or to learn more about our coaching services, please visit helpingcouplesheal.com or call 562-379-4325. Our help is available worldwide. Please support Helping Couples Heal in continuing to reach others impacted by betrayal trauma by leaving a review on iTunes and sharing this podcast with someone you care about. For additional support, follow us on Instagram and consider joining our Helping Couples Heal private Facebook community. This isn't an easy journey, but you don't have to do it alone. Once again, thank you for listening.